Is this the little computer you donated?
No, this is mine.
Oh, I was going to say, it didn't look like the one. Okay. Go ahead. Yeah, yeah. Good morning, everybody. Welcome on this fine day, which is Father's Day. So I want to send a blessing out to all of the fathers and say happy Father's Day to those of you here in this building and those of you who are outside these walls listening on the radio. There's lots of ways, and Matt just nodded his head. Yes, we are on the radio. Thank you. There are lots of ways to be a dad. There are lots of people who are dads who might not be biological fathers. Gosh, they could be cousins, brothers, friends, neighbors who do dad things. So happy Father's Day to all those who act as father in this world. Now, there's another holiday happening today. Whenever there's a white pyramid, That means there's something going on. Today is Trinity Sunday. Did you know that? It's one of the lesser known holidays in the Christian world. So happy Trinity Sunday, the Sunday after Pentecost, when we celebrate this God that we understand reflected in three ways: Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Some say Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And some say it in many, many ways. But the point is that we celebrate the multiplicity of God, the way that we understand God in diverse ways. So happy Trinity Sunday. Let us take a moment to pause, to be in this time and in this place, in your body and in your heart, in your mind and in your spirit. Ground yourself in the Spirit of God as we begin this time of worship. Let's rise as we are able in body or in heart and sing No Matter.
Oh,
You'll notice in your bulletin for our call to worship that there is a right side and a left side response. So you are the right side over here. You're the right side. You're the left side over here. Okay, ready? Let's call ourselves to worship. O Lord, our sovereign. When I look at your heavens,
the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you establish, what are human that you are mindful of us? What are mortals that you care for us? Yet you have made us a little lower than God and crowned us with glory and honor.
O Lord, our sovereign. And let us confess together. Give us courage, O God. We long to live in the truth that you have shown us, but it is hard. We long to hold on to the vision you have given us, but it can be scary. Forgive us for wandering away from your challenges. Help us to be bold and sure. We want to step out in faith, do a new thing in us and in our church. Prepare our hearts to be ready. Beloved of God, you know that I don't actually give you the pardon. I just assure you of the pardon that God gives you. And then you can receive that or not. And so I want you to take a moment. All of you who are listening, think about what you did or didn't do, said or didn't say, thought or didn't think, that you think is grievous to God. Call to mind those moments not to be shamed, but to pick them up. Because sometimes we try to place them somewhere and forget about them, hide them, throw them on the ground, dig our heel into the ground, and bury them. But those aren't the seeds that you want to plant. That will not help us be bold. That will not help us usher in a new world. So take a moment and dig up anything that you wanted to hide or not remember. Grab a hold of it, not to keep, but with open hands and open hearts to let God take from you and feel the power and the strength of your forgiving God. You may be seated. Do I have kids that want to come up? Come on up anyway. Microphone, microphone, microphone. I can imagine the piece of paper going up now saying, move the microphones. Thank you. I mentioned that this is Trinity Sunday. Your name is Trinity? It's nice to meet you. Well, then that's pretty doggone special. The Trinity that we're celebrating today is the Trinity of God. There's a lot of work going on over there. Sorry about that. Point it a little bit this way because it won't hear. That'll work. Here, let's say hello on the count of three. One, two, three.
Hello!
There, hopefully they heard that on the radio. So God's Trinity. Some say Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Some say Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. But the whole point of it is that we are celebrating God as, nope, you're not going to throw that. Thank you. Is that we celebrate God three in one. Three in one. Now that's hard to kind of wrap our head around, right? That there's three persons in one God. So some people say it's like an egg. What are the three parts of an egg?
The shell.
Yes.
The yolk.
Yes.
And that.
And the, yeah.
The white stuff.
The white stuff. The whites, yeah. So some say that the Godhead, which is what we call the Trinity of God, is like an egg. It's one egg, but it's got three parts. Some say that the Godhead is like, this is of course one of my favorites, is like a chocolate cake. Oh boy, the look I got was precious over here. I wish I had looked at you adults. Like a chocolate cake. So what's in a chocolate cake?
Chocolate.
Fudge.
What, flour? Eggs. Water. So there's more than three things. What else is in?
Sugar.
Yeah, that's pretty important. One time my mom made some pumpkin pies and brought them to an event, and then she took a slice and realized she'd forgotten the sugar. It didn't go over very well. Did you do that before? Yeah, that's a bummer. It doesn't taste very good. So we brought them home and sprinkled sugar on the top, I think. But so a chocolate cake, God is like a chocolate cake. And you mix all those ingredients together. And can you tell where one starts and one ends? So they become one cake. But they're all, it's many ingredients mixed together. So some say God is like a chocolate cake. I think sometimes God is like... Well, we can understand God from understanding ourselves. So, Amy, for instance. Amy is a mom, a grandmom, plays piano, and it's all Amy. Amy's favorite color is?
Yellow.
Green, yeah, not yellow, green. My favorite color is yellow. Let's get this straight. My favorite color is yellow. Amy's favorite color is green. Together we make a daffodil. Okay? Got it? Okay. So Amy's favorite color is green, and her favorite shape is? What?
Shape.
Circle. And Amy's favorite animal is a cat. All that is in Amy. But it's Amy. Many, many ways to understand how God can be many and one. Does anybody have an idea how you might understand God as being many and one? What are your idea? Did I just say, what are your idea?
Yes.
Followed, that's the sad part.
And you followed, that's the sad part. What are your idea? You know, and we've got plenty of time here because there's no choir. So we can stay up here. And my sermon's short. So what is your idea? You don't have... No, not really. You were just kidding. Does Brooke have an idea? No. Do you have an idea, Mr. Silly Man? Any ideas at all? Does anybody have any other ideas about... A bicycle. Tell me about a bicycle.
You have the wheels, you have the pedals, you have the handlebars, you have the chain, the frame, the bike. All go together.
Legs.
What about the bicycle ride? You have to have the person on the bicycle. to make it work. Any other ideas? Because we have to imagine God for ourselves. We have to understand God in the way that God shows us. The Trinity is a way for us to get at the complexity of God. You didn't know you were so important. That's right. In Christmas time, people whose names are Mary and Joseph, they hear their name a lot too. Let's pray. Oh God.
Oh God.
You are.
You are.
You.
You.
You have always been.
You have always been.
You.
You.
You will always be.
You will always be.
You.
You.
Help us.
Help us.
To understand.
To understand.
You.
You.
We love you, God.
We love you, God.
And we know that you love us.
And we know that you love us.
Amen.
Amen.
Go forth. Thank you for coming up. Bye-bye. Thanks for coming up. I think he wants to stay. He's gotten a little taste of the chancel. Like you do. Biblical witness is Acts 3. Oh, yeah, I have plenty of time. It's a shame I didn't write more. Acts 3, last week we talked about Acts 2, the Holy Spirit descended, outpouring on everybody. Moving forward, Acts 3, one day, we don't know what day it was, it doesn't say the Sabbath, it was just one day. Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer at 3:00 in the afternoon. A man lame from birth was being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple called the Beautiful Gate so that he could ask for alms from those entering the temple. When Peter and John saw him, they were about to go into the temple. He asked them for alms, and Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have I will give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Stand up. Walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's Portico, utterly astonished. When Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "You Israelites, why do you wonder at this? Why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we had made him walk?" And then the story continues with Peter preaching, because that's what Peter does. "Look, a crowd has gathered. I get to tell them about Jesus," and he does. But for the purposes of our story, I am stopping with Peter saying, "You think it's from our power and our piety that this man is walking? Let me tell you the truth. Jesus." This man was at the temple wanting help. He was at the gate called Beautiful, and he had been there daily because people would bring him. And one thing that I want to mention to you is the research I did about this. Because I like to know. Kind of a geek. I should be, right? There's a lot of commentaries out there about where the temple beautiful, the gate beautiful was in the temple. Was it on this side or that side? Could it have been here? But probably not. There were too many steps. Were they here? No, only the elite were allowed to go in there. And then they went to Solomon's portico, so it kind of had to be here. No, it didn't. It had to be over here. And then I realized I think they missed the point of the story. They're so busy worried about exactly which gate it was at. Nobody's talking about the story. And I got caught up in that for a little while. Well, I don't know. That sounds like a really good point. How could it have been that gate when clearly this... Wait, stop. You're missing the point, Kneebone. What's the story say? Sometimes those details are interesting. But we can get really waylaid by them. The best thing that I read, which I don't have a real detailed way to talk about this because it's still kind of running around in my heart, but I wanted to share it with you aside from this sermon, is that he was at the gate called Beautiful, and his life was anything but. The temple was beautiful. I mean, it was ornate. It was made of fine stuff. It was expensive. It was more gorgeous than you can probably imagine. And here's this man, poor, not able to walk, being carried around by people, probably looking pretty ugly from the way we judge ugly and beauty. And there he was, leaning up against this ornate, beautiful temple at a gate called Beautiful. I don't know, there's something to that. I haven't figured out how I feel about it, but I think it's important. I like the fact that he went there. He said, that's where I want to go. Carry me there. And I think there's too many times that we look at ourselves and we've decided that we're ugly. And so we don't go to the gate called Beautiful. And I think that we should say, Holy Spirit, carry me there. Carry me there. That's where I want to be. I don't care if by some kind of contrast I don't look like I belong. Carry me there. But that's not my sermon. The Holy Spirit has been given. The Holy Spirit poured out on all believers, Peter and John, Jewish men. Did you know that? We think Pentecost, suddenly they're Christian. No, Peter and John were Jewish men who were followers of Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, and they go to the temple at the hour of prayer. How do you feel about us opening up our church at 3 o'clock? Will you come every day at 3 o'clock to pray? I didn't think so. We have different kinds of lives. They had lives that the whole culture went around their times of prayer. We have a very different culture, so we can't particularly perfectly parallel our lives with theirs. But we can understand that this was their practice. How many times had they passed by this man who could not walk? As daily they went to the temple at the hour of prayer, and daily he was put at that gate. Every day he was brought to this temple to ask for alms. What are alms? Sometimes it's money, sometimes it's food, sometimes it's clothes, it's anything. Anything. Do you have anything to help me? That's what alms are. He was strategically located at the beautiful gate at the time of high traffic. So he was handicapped, but he wasn't stupid. He went at the time of prayer. Peter and John had no alms for him. I wonder if they passed by him daily, wishing they had something to give to him. And then Peter had a revelation. He didn't have any money. He didn't have any stuff. His heart to want to give to the man filled with the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and he offered him healing. But he didn't just offer. He reached out his hand to lift the man up. He became personally engaged in the moment. He didn't just say, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. Have a good day," and walk away. He said, "I'm going to take personal responsibility for this moment. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk." And he reached out his hand, picked him up by the right hand, and they had an intimate moment. Later in the story, it says that he is clinging to Peter and John. It's not because he couldn't walk. He'd been jumping up and down, walking and leaping and praising God. It's because he was clinging to them. I think it's because the moment was so intimate, so incredible, that he was just climbing all over them. Passion. Abandon. How long did it take for Peter and John to recognize what they had to give to this person? Had they been talking about it all week? The story says that Peter looked intently at him, as did John, which I think indicates that they were both very much involved. I'm imagining Peter and John having conversations. What are we going to do about that guy? Every day they lead him up there. We don't have any money to give him. We don't have any extra food. We're barely making it ourselves. What are we going to do? And then they figured out, wait, we've got the Spirit of God. When Jesus was here, we healed people all the time. What are we thinking, that we're poor and powerless? We may be poor, but we're powerful. Let's help this guy out. Now, it's no secret that our church struggles financially. We struggle to pay bills sometimes. It costs money to keep the building up, to pay for my salary, for administrative costs. That doesn't even take into account the ministry of the church. By ministry, I mean the ways that we serve each other and those outside the church. Now, I say that our church struggles financially. What I really mean is that most mainline Protestant churches struggle financially. I get together with a lot of ministers various points in the week and month, and one of the things that we talk about most is how difficult our finances are. We talk about our money woes far more than we talk about the move of the Holy Spirit. I am so bored of that conversation. We talk about it at conference. Parts of conference at the Indiana-Kentucky Conference annual gathering, parts of it were really, really wonderful. But we had to cut two of the IKC staff down to half-time because the conference budget cannot sustain them. And we all were sad. We fought about it a little bit. But our budget could not sustain them. And that is very real and very sad. As budget gets tighter, often ministries diminish. We think as if we were a business, and while we do live within the confines of our economic system, church, we need to live outside of our economic system. We need to think outside of it, or maybe even beyond it. Every day we pass by people who ask for alms. Often we receive their requests online, through the mail. But churches in financial straits shake their heads and think, "We have nothing extra from which to share with you." I think Peter and John had similar conversations as we do when we're exploring ways to be engaged in the community and ways of providing ministry. We listen to the asks of people and organizations. And then we look at our budget. And we shake our heads. And we say, what a shame. Eventually, though, Peter and John figured out what they did have to share. And it was powerful. When are we going to do that? How long is it going to take us to figure out what we have to share? Because we have the same Holy Spirit. We have the same beautiful, powerful, loving, compassionate God that they did. How many times did they walk past the man and go, it's a shame we got nothing to give. Wait a minute. I want us to have some wait a minute moments. Oh, I know what I can share. And then we actually reach out our right hand and take their right hand. And we become intimately engaged with people as we look at them intently and give them something from the Spirit of God. This is good news. We have great opportunities everywhere to minister to people. We can think creatively. We can think outside the box. In any given situation, we can look at what we do have, even if it isn't exactly meeting that particular ask someone might have. It might be meeting the need. We need to look at the need and see if we have anything to share, which we do. We absolutely do. I felt like a bird just then. We absolutely do. Flapping my arms, getting excited. We can meet a bigger need than maybe they are asking for or know that they have. Not that we don't listen to people's needs. But sometimes, I don't know about you, but I pray to God and I ask for things, and then, I don't know, weeks later, when the answer to prayer comes, months later, years later, I go, I can't believe I asked it that way when this was actually much better. Never occurred to me to ask that. So sometimes we look at what we have, what we can share. So is the budget a great concern here? Yeah, it actually kind of is. Do we need to take it seriously and figure out what to do? Yeah, we certainly do. Yeah. But are we more than our budget? You better believe it. We cannot define ourselves by our budget. We cannot define ourselves by the building that we worship in, by the car that we drive, by the clothes that we wear. We cannot define ourselves by these things. We define ourselves by the Spirit of God and being followers of Jesus Christ and living out in the world authentically as faithful people. We are a church of Jesus, the one who went out to people to meet their needs. We are a church of Jesus who didn't wait. Well, if only they'd pay attention, they'd know I could heal them. I'll just wait here. Wait for them to come, because eventually someone will tell somebody and they'll know. No, Jesus said, I've got the power to heal. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go find people who have withered hands. I'm going to say, stretch out your hand. I'm going to go find people who have a limp. I'm going to heal their limp. We are that church. We follow that Savior. And we've got that much to share. And that's super exciting to me. I want people to say, I'm going to love you right now. I'm going to have compassion on you right now. I'm going to see you. You don't get seen very much, do you? I'm going to see you, and I'm going to hold your hand if you'll let me. And then if somebody says, where does all this love come from? You can say from God. And there's a little bit more of that available at First United Church of Christ if you just want to come. I'll make sure there's more people to love you, more people to see you, more people to see your value. And when we do that, we've got something to share. Let us summon up our greatest spiritual strengths: love, compassion, and hope. There's not enough hope in this world. And let us go out into the world and live that gospel, the good news, together with the power of the Spirit of God. Let's rise as we are able in body or in heart and turn to number 108. Be seated. Please join your hearts with mine in prayer. Holy love, it is to you we come. Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. Help us to build this world. Help us to build your world according to your design. We have prayers in our hearts. We have things for ourselves, our families, our friends, and people that we don't even know that we're worried about, and we ask that you would meet their needs, that you would make change, that you would have transformation by your power. We ask that you would be real with us and help us to be real with you and help us to not think that it's got to do with our power and our piousness, but it only has to do with being a vessel that allows you to flow freely. Because it's your power. And you are the one that's holy, holy, holy. Remind us of that when we get scared and we think we can't anything. Remind us of that when we're broken or when we see a need. And I pray especially today for the fathers. Those who are fathers in this world, biological or not, those who do the work of fathering. Give them your heart. Show them what your heart is. Give them a range of love that goes beyond anything that they can imagine. Give them the strength and the wisdom to intercede, to stand in the middle, to keep safe from harm. And give them the ability to share their love so that they instill love and a sure foundation in those that they father. And so, with one voice, we recall the words that Jesus gave his disciples as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power. Beloved, as the offering plates are going around, remember the friendship registration pads. We'd like you to sign in. We'd like to know that you're here. And as you prepare your wallets, please also prepare your hearts. And as the plate passes through your hands, say a prayer. Please rise as you are able in body or in heart. We thank you that you have blessed these gifts, that you see them and all that these plates contained, whether we can see what's in them or not. And we ask that you would multiply everything that's in here like you did the loaves and the fishes, so that none would be hungry or thirsty or lacking, none would be alone, and that there would be more left over so that then we could give to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Please turn to number 309. Let us sing Pass It On.
Thank you.
Beloved of God, as you go forth from this place, take that, passing it on as a prayer to God. That's exactly what Peter and John were doing. You have the same Spirit of God. That is the good news. And you've got enough to spread. It'd be like Spider-Man. Let it just come out from your hands and let you climb walls. And it lets you get involved in people's lives in a way that's special and unique and intimate as you reach out. Go forth from this place in the power of the Holy Spirit and go forth in peace.